The Public News Service Joe Newscast, November the 9th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. For weeks now, Arizonans have heard their state could be crucial in deciding the direction of the country, and today it's being closely watched as votes are counted post-election day.
In Pima County, both the Democratic and Republican parties say they are each feeling optimistic and are anxiously awaiting the results of local, state, and congressional races. Shelley Burgoyne, executive director for the Pima County Democratic Party, sees this as the most important election of her lifetime.
I would say the atmosphere is, you know, a bit nervous because it's election day. We're hopeful, you know, we're confident that Democrats will turn out, especially with the right to choose on the ballot, as well as just voting rights and access to the polls in general.
Burgoyne feels the January 6th riot was a turning point in U.S. politics and has made this election a crucial one. She says the ramifications of that attack are very much present in Arizona, as the Republican Secretary of State candidate Mark Fincham was at the U.S. Capitol that day, something Burgoyne believes indicates the right to vote is clearly at stake on the ballot. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
This midterm election, the battle for control of the U.S. Senate has dominated the headlines, but Nevada voters are also weighing in on three ballot measures that could have a huge impact on wages in the state.
Question two would get rid of the two-tiered minimum wage, because right now workers who get health insurance can be paid a dollar less an hour than people whose employer doesn't provide health benefits. Will Pregman with the group Battleborn Progress says that arrangement has turned out to be a bad deal for many workers.
A lot of times this was being abused by companies who would pay their workers this lower salary and give them essentially a bare-bones junk insurance plan.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Opponents of the change say the extra cost would be a burden on employers and lead to job cuts. The new minimum wage would be $12 an hour for all Nevada workers. Conventional wisdom says in a close election like this week's midterms, turnout is key. A new poll from a Latino rights group finds both parties might have blown it in terms of outreach to their community. The Naleo Education Fund polled Latinos across the U.S. weekly for the past 9 weeks and found just over half said they were contacted by either party before the election. Dorian Cole is with the fund.
This was another opportunity for either party to engage the Latino community. And it looks like it was a missed opportunity for both parties to really engage the Latino community on the issues that really mattered.
He says of those who were contacted, 63% heard from the Democratic Party, 36% heard from Republicans. In the poll, 48% of Latinos rated the rising cost of living and inflation as top issues. 26% of Latinos cited abortion rights as their most important issue. This is PNS. The Biden administration banned housing discrimination based on a person's sexual orientation and gender identity, but our Eric Tegetoff lets us know this gain in protections for the LGBTQ community could be tenuous.
President Joe Biden signed an executive order last year that directs the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to prohibit this type of discrimination under the Fair Housing Act. However, Pam Bean with Montana Fair Housing says the protections were not put into place permanently under the law.
It was done through executive order, so that can be changed very easily with the next round of elections and who becomes president.
Political rhetoric attacking the LGBTQ community ramped up in the lead-up to the midterm elections. In an assessment of the state's policy toward the community, the Movement Advancement Project rated Montana low.
Forecasters are predicting another season of cold, wet weather for Illinois and the upper Midwest this winter, and that could bring some high energy bills.
The National Weather Service, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, and the Old Farmer's Almanac are all calling for a snowier than usual season with major storms possible in January and February. So Illinoisans are being advised to take steps now to make their homes and businesses more energy efficient. Whitney Hayes with the nonprofit advocacy group Elevate says folks who heat with gas should prepare to dig deep in their wallets.
There's a couple things going on with gas prices, one of which is the cost of gas itself. And so that does fluctuate depending on the market and depending on what's going on in the world. I mean, gas prices globally are up. It's not just the U.S.
Analysts estimate for November through March, natural gas customers can expect to pay between $1,200 and $1,400 to heat their homes. Mark Richardson reporting.
Finally, Nadia Ramlingon tells us telehealth is touted as the solution to increasing access to health care in rural America, but in the mountainous counties of western North Carolina, it's unclear how effective telehealth could be for people who don't have reliable internet service.
At the North Carolina Department of Information Technology, Division of Broadband and Digital Equity, Nate Denny says 380,000 households in the region don't have solid internet connections due to a lack of access to fiber optic broadband. He adds infrastructure isn't the only issue.
But that's not all there is to the problem, right? There's also the question of affordability. Average monthly cost is about $65 a month for a high-speed internet connection.
Fewer than one in four Western North Carolina residents has access to broadband service.
This story produced with original reporting from Shelby Harris at the Daily Yonder. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.